Hey, it's November 30th, 2021, and this is Markets Daily from CoinDesk. I'm Adam Bielavine here again with Adrian Bluss for your daily news roundup. On today's show, we're talking Bitcoin, traditional markets, and five things to be crypto grateful for. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice. Bitcoin and risk assets in general faced renewed selling pressure in Asia earlier this morning, although Bitcoin has been recovering since then. Ether, the native token powering smart contract blockchain Ethereum, stayed relatively resilient and jumped 4%, hitting two-week highs above $4,600 during the early U.S. hours, helping Bitcoin and the broader crypto market regain some poise. Ether's outperformance comes a day after Kelly Strategic Management, an investment firm headed by Kevin Kelly, filed in the U.S. for a futures-based exchange-traded fund tied to Ether. Some crypto investors seem worried about prospects of an extended price drop and appear to be transferring coins onto exchanges. Data tracked by Glassnode shows centralized crypto exchanges have received more than 24,950 BTC in just the past 4 days. Investors typically move coins to exchanges when they intend to liquidate some of those holdings. In similar news, Bitcoin's six-month put call skew, which measures the cost of puts or bearish bets relative to calls or bullish bets, has turned positive for the first time since the crash in May, indicating heightened concerns of an extended downside move. Quote, "People appear to be bidding for downside protection," the Switzerland-based data platform Levitas said. Continue with the quote. "However, we haven't seen significant volumes yet," end quote. The six-month skew's bearish turn does not necessarily imply a prolonged downtrend. With the six-month implied volatility hovering near its lifetime average of 84%, the longer duration put options appear to be cheap, so traders could be buying those in a bid to make outsized gains on a potential sell-off. Bitcoin dropped nearly 20% from its all-time high near $69,000 last week, which was the largest drawdown, or percentage decline from peak to trough, since September. Historically, Bitcoin experienced sharp drawdowns around all-time highs, which suggests the current correction could be short-lived. Taking a bird's eye view, on an annualized basis, Bitcoin and Ether's 30-day volatility remains low compared with earlier this year. And despite the latest spike, the S&P 500's annualized volatility has declined from its March 2020 peak. Some analysts expect volatility to eventually rise next year, especially as the correlation between Bitcoin and the S&P 500 remains elevated. But for now, pullbacks in assets deemed to be risky, such as cryptocurrencies and stocks, appear to be limited given strong seasonal trends. Today's crypto coverage comes courtesy of CoinDesk Markets analysts Dominic Dantes, Amkar Godbole, and Tracy Wong. Bitcoin is currently trading for $57,942. That's up almost 1.5% in the last 24 hours. While Ether is trading at $4,604. That's up 6.2% in the same time period, according to the CoinDesk Price Index. In traditional markets, U.S. stock futures fell and investors sheltered in government bonds after drug makers raised concerns that COVID-19 vaccines won't work as well against the new Omicron strain. Futures for the tech-heavy NASDAQ 100 sunk by half a point. This follows major indexes closing higher on Monday, rebounding from a sharp sell-off last week. Across the pond, Europe's regional Stoxx 600 share index, which had rallied on Monday along with Wall Street stocks, fell about 1.3%, with London's FTSE 100, Germany's DAX, and France's CAC 40 all dropping by about the same amount. In Asia, stock markets were mixed, with Japan's Nikkei 225 and Hong Kong's Hang Seng index each dropping by about 1.6%, while in mainland China, the Shanghai Composite Index edged up less than 0.1%. So mostly a down day, but a little bit of optimism there. Today's traditional markets coverage draws from the Wall Street Journal and the FT. Stay tuned for after the break. We'll take a look at what crypto has to be thankful for. And there are a few reasons. Back in a minute.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Today's featured story is an opinion piece from Michael J. Casey, CoinDesk's chief content officer. If you're an early investor in Bitcoin, Ether, Sol, or CryptoPunk NFTs, you have a lot to be thankful for this year. But as I prepared this special Thanksgiving edition of Money Reimagined, the idea of celebrating soaring crypto prices was rather unsatisfying. The good news is there's been lots of development in the crypto sector that captures its transformative economic and social potential and don't require embracing the rather distasteful have-fun-staying-poor mindset of some speculators. After looking through CoinDesk's coverage in the past 12 months, here are five things that I think the crypto community can be thankful for. First, the advance of Layer 2 scaling. I chose this nerdy topic first because ultimately, the question of whether crypto can one day be a viable alternative for the wider global economy depends largely on its ability to scale. It needs the capacity to rapidly settle a massive number of transactions without imposing burdensome costs on its users. Some folks, such as those at Bitcoin Cash, who led a largely failed movement to increase Bitcoin's block's data storage capacity, believe scaling requires changes to the base layer of the blockchain protocol, but that can undermine network security and lead to more centralization of certain types. The real promise lies in Layer 2 middleware that pushes processing capacity up the stack, so to speak. With this, transactions and software commands are executed off-chain, while the base blockchain still acts as a validation anchor to prevent double spending. The best-known Layer 2 product is Bitcoin's Lightning Network, which was first fleshed out by Thaddeus Dryja and Joseph Poon in a January 2016 white paper. But only now, in 2021, has Lightning come into its own, as the basis of El Salvador's embrace of Bitcoin is legal tender. The country's Shiva wallet remains beset by bugs, and President Nayib Bukele isn't exactly the international community's darling. Still, the fact that Lightning is allowing many poor Salvadorans to make small payments without incurring heaving processing fees is a positive sign for the advance of this technology. Other Layer 2 advances this past year lie in decentralized finance, or DeFi. Protocols like Polygon or Arbitrum are using tools such as zero-knowledge rollups and Plasma to increase throughput of transactions on Ethereum and other smart contract Layer 1 chains, while also creating more opportunities for cross-chain interoperability. These advances are vital if DeFi is to truly challenge the traditional finance model for the global economy. Second, developing world crypto innovation. While there's been a great deal of attention in the US and other developed countries on the flood of institutional investors into crypto assets, we'll talk more about that in a minute, there's an equally important trend of adoption in the developing world. Bitcoin and stablecoin-based cross-border remittances are increasing in many developing countries. Crypto payments have rapidly expanded inside troubled economies such as Turkey and Argentina. And most interestingly, new hubs of unique innovation have popped up in the developing world. We covered three examples in separate episodes of the Money Reimagined podcast: the expansion of DeFi projects in Nigeria, the outsized role played in the Philippines by the global advance of play-to-earn crypto gaming models, and the lead that Cambodia has taken in using a blockchain system for internal payments that improve financial inclusion without requiring a formal central bank digital currency. Now let's talk about the institutions. They're here. The past year has seen investments in Bitcoin and crypto from a who's who of hedge funds, big-name investors like Ray Dalio and George Soros, and even pension funds. A few more adventurous crypto-ready hedge funds are now finding their way into DeFi. A more cynical eye might view the arrival of these institutional investors, which has pushed up the price of tokens, as crowding out smaller players and therefore undermining the dream of an open, accessible, and inclusive decentralized financial system. But if we believe that Layer 2 projects like those I previously described will make transactions cheap and efficient, then there's a more positive way to view this trend, that it makes the crypto ecosystem more secure for two different reasons. First, the more money locked in these systems, the more difficult they are to compromise, because it makes it much more expensive for an attacker to take over the network. And second, the more that Wall Street and wealthy investors are exposed to crypto, the harder it is for regulators in Washington to shut it down. But now let's talk about the NFT creativity burst. Suddenly, non-fungible tokens are everywhere. Collins Dictionary has even declared NFT the word of the year. Cynics and snobs worry that profit-making obsessions with collectible avatars such as the Bored Ape Yacht Club series are giving art itself a bad name. But the myriad commercial and non-commercial NFT art and entertainment projects represent an explosion of creativity, one that merges money, technology, community, and art into a confusing but fascinating mix of forces. It's indisputable that the biggest financial winners in this boom are confined to a narrow set of early adopting collectors and big splash-making artists like Beeple, with his record-breaking $69.3 million Christie sale back in March. But there are also signs that previously marginalized digital artists are finding new avenues for both creativity and directly selling their work to collectors. And finally, it's worth giving thanks for protocol upgrades, notably Bitcoin's Taproot and Ethereum's London Hard Fork. Having started with a nerdy topic, I'll close with another. This one may seem to contradict the idea that it's better to develop Layer 2 products that sit on top of the base protocol, rather than trying to insert new bells and whistles into the base layer. But the truth is that some problems can only be dealt with at the protocol layer. It's really hard to make those changes in a decentralized system, because you need to find community consensus around them or risk a split in the chain. So it was encouraging to see two rather significant upgrades get through for the two biggest blockchains in 2021, with Bitcoin's long-awaited Taproot upgrade, which improves privacy, efficiency, programmability, and security, and the other was Ethereum's London Hard Fork, which, among other things, helps reduce volatility in that blockchain gas price transaction fees and creates the potential to reduce long-term Ether supply in a manner that boosted its value in the market. Both upgrades represent important, material changes that will advance the broader crypto ecosystem. And that's our show for today. Thank you very much for listening. This episode was edited by Adrian Blust, and you can send us an email at podcast@coindesk.com. We'll be back tomorrow with another news roundup. And just a reminder that CoinDesk is a news source and does not provide investment advice.